Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Chapter 24 Further Traits of Sri Krishna.
Shakshi Veti Sa Bhaktim Iti means that the devotees understand that Krishna, Sa, being the witness, Sakshi, knows Veti, the real amount of bhakti in the acts they perform. Right? So how devotional we are, Krishna knows, because he's in the heart. Right? An alternative third line is Shakshi Veti Mama Yas Savagatitam Iti Yashritam Swastita. Those who are fixed in taking shelter, I would guess, of Krishna, think Krishna, being the witness, knows my helplessness. Right? So when he knows the devotion, but also we have that faith, we understand Krishna's in the heart. So he knows, you know, our position, our surrender, how, you know, our dependency upon him. He knows all these things. 261. To remain fixed in one's duties, even though they are filled with obstacles, is called steadiness. Translation. Even though his act was obstructed by Shiva with his trident and Bana's mother, footnote 6, she is called Shiva in this verse, which is actually refers to Shiva's wife. However, Bana's mother was Kotara. Kotara is also a name of Durga, who had appeared without clothing. Mukunda cut off the arms of Banasura. Srila Prabhupada, steady. A person who is not disturbed even in a situation of reversal is called steady. This steadiness was observed in Krishna in connection with his chastising the demon known as Bana. The Bana demon had many hands, and Krishna was cutting off these hands one after another. This Bana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva and the goddess Durga. Thus, when Bana was being chastised, Lord Shiva and Durga became very furious at Krishna. But Krishna did not care for them. 21263. The learned say that the ability to enter into the hearts of all others is called influence, tejas. 21264. So it's interesting is that, because tejas, that's a quality of Aniruddha, tejas and Shakti. And so then it's also Aniruddha is the super soul. So that's one of his qualities. He can enter. 21264. An example from the 10th canto. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the cowherd men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, the king of the Bhojas as death, the unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:43-17. Srila Prabhupada. Predominating. A person who can affect the mind of everyone is called predominating. As far as Krishna's predomination is concerned, in the 10th canto, 43rd chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is described thus by Sukadeva Goswami to King Parikshit. My dear king, Krishna is a thunderbolt to the wrestlers. To the common man, he is the most beautiful human being. To the young girls, he is just like Cupid. To the cowherd men and women, he is the most intimate relative. To the impious kings, he is the supreme ruler. To his parents, Nanda and Jashoda, he is just a baby. To Kamsa, the king of the Bhoja, he is death personified. To the dull and stupid, he is just like a stone. To the yogis, he is the supreme absolute truth. And to the Vrishnis, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. In such a predominating position, Krishna appeared in that arena along with his older brother Balaram. End quote. When Krishna, the reservoir of all mellows, was present in the arena of Kamsa, he appeared differently to the different persons who related to him in different mellows. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:11 that he appears to every person according to one's relationship with him. 2:1-265. So Prabhupada translates predominating.
And also the impersonal list, the talents, because in the whole list they are the ones who get the least benefit.
Yes, yes. Yeah, to the dull and stupid, he's like a stone. So, yeah. 2:1-265. Another definition of Tejas. The intelligent say that Tejas means intolerant of offense, since another meaning of Tejas is impatience and fierce opposition. 2:1-266. An example. When the hater of the whole universe, angry Kamsa, loudly beckons to Nanda and Vasudev, with a desire to give them punishment, Krishna throws a glance like a messenger sent to the unchaste women called death for the demons, and ascends the arena with a desire to play. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes learned scholars describe predominating to mean a person intolerant of being neglected. This peculiarity in Krishna was visible when Kamsa was insulting a Maharaj Nanda. Vasudeva was asking Krishna's assistance in killing Kamsa, and Krishna was glancing over Kamsa with longing eyes, just like a prostitute, and was just preparing to jump at the king. Jiva Goswami. Krishna throws a glance, like a woman messenger sent to contact death, who is just like a prostitute for the enemies of the devotees, towards Kamsa. This is the preferred version of the text. Other words do not express the inferiority of Kamsa. 2:1-267. Where there are activities of explicit conjugal nature, it is known as lalita, voluptuousness. Voluptuousness is is it Tejas? Oh no, that was the renunciation. Yeah. An example. The king of Rasa, Krishna, is enjoying drawing mardakas on the bud-like breasts of Radha with his right hand using a steady mind. When Aristasura roars harshly with pride, Krishna, while laughing at him as goosebumps rise on his flesh, ties his belt with his left hand. Okay.
2:1-268.
No, it seems to be two aspects. Like that.
Because with Radha, it's obvious quality, but with Aristasura, it's not very obvious.
Unless it's both happening at the same time. Because that pastime, you see, was all, there's so much connected with the gopis. Because that's how then the whole Radhakund, appearance of Radhakund and all that came up. So it can be that it's happening at that same time, or it can be that it's just showing that with Radharani, then he deals in one way, and then Aristasura, then the other.
It's like he can do something which is very articulate with using a single hand.
Yes.
I mean, here it is brought out that with right hand he could do and with left hand he could do simultaneously while doing.
Oh, okay, because the next one probably calls it meticulous dresser. Okay. A person who is very fond of dressing himself is called Lalita, or a meticulous dresser. This characteristic was found in Krishna in two ways. Sometimes he used to decorate Srimati Radharani with various marks, and sometimes when he was preparing to kill demons like Agastasura, he would take care to arrange his belt very nicely. So it's just, it's two different occasions. But it's the same principle, is that, you know, he takes care and does everything very nicely. Anything to do with dressing and arrangements, he does very well. And that also goes nicely with that aspect of Tejas and Shakti of Aniruddha. Yes.
Maharaj, in modern days, they people think that be able to dress nicely, it's a feminine characteristic. And here we see it.
But everything's coming from Krishna. So it's just how it's applied. Because it's just like... But you'll see is that like the military, you know, you have a general in that. You don't think feminine, but how well are they dressed? Very exact, very things like that. So it depends on the character of the person and that kind of thing, whether it's, you know.
Because you have also history men.
Yeah, very nice dressers and all that. And that's, it's considered and it's very respected. Someone dresses very well, people tend to listen to them. So, you know, so that's the principle. It's not what you're dressed in, it's how well you dress. You know, like that. The idea is that, oh, if you wear, you know, you don't wear, if you wear the you know, how you say, the civilian clothes like that, people will be more relate. And but if you dress in the Vaishnav dress, you know, the traditional dress. But it's not actually what you're wearing, it's how you wear it. If you're a slob, it doesn't matter what you wear, no one wants to talk to you. So it's not, you know, it's just like if you're on the street and all there is karmis, which, and you don't know directions, and you're in a place that you don't know, who do you go up to? Right? Person who's more properly dressed. Like that. So it's a universal principle. So it's nothing to do with the clothes, because it's just like, let us say you end up in some funny part of the neighborhood. Right? They're all wearing karmic clothes, but you're thinking, I walked down the wrong street. So it has nothing to do with the karmic clothes. It's how well you wear it. Mm-hmm. What's the attitude? That's the whole thing. So. Yeah. 2.1.269. Generosity is glorified as the willingness to offer to another person, even one's soul. 2.1.270. Say if there is anyone more magnanimous than the Supreme Lord, who offers even his soul to the destitute and nondescript. Okay. So see that. They're always mentioning all these great personalities like that, and so, you know, here we get a mention. Right, like that. Destitute and nondescript. Okay.
We made it
into nectar devotion, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, magnanimous. A person who can give themselves to anyone is called magnanimous. No one could be more magnanimous than Krishna, because he is always prepared to give himself completely to his devotee, even to one who is not a devotee. Krishna, in his form of Lord Chaitanya, is prepared to give himself and to grant deliverance. Footnote 7. This process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-22. Yeah. So it's also, there's that point that of that, not sure, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is giving, that that if you you know, you see, you're comfortable using intelligence and discrimination in these things. So, and logic, you should apply this logic to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then you will see he's the most merciful of any, incarnation of the Lord. Like that. No one is giving more to to the least qualified. Yeah. You also see as these words, generosity is giving, but magnanimous is the attitude in which, when someone's generous, there's something that's there, but if they're magnanimous, then that's a further aspect of that generosity. Because many people may be generous, but how many are magnanimous? Does that make sense? So they're in the same line. So you see a lot of these words are in the same line, because they'll have the same roots and everything. But it's just depending upon which one is brought out in that. Does that make sense? Yes.
In one sense, magnanimity means one doesn't even see the qualification.
Yeah. That could be there. Two seventy-one. Although these eight qualities were previously discussed, they are somewhat remarkable. They have again been described in a separate category. Jiva Goswami. Starya was defined in verse 107 of this section already. Similarly, the other qualities can be found described previously. They have been described as separate dispositions because of their excellent nature, viseshat. That is, they mutually nourish each other, and sometimes spontaneous on their own, they become prominent. So, as we see, is when you're dealing with rasa, is that here is, means that the whole idea is that Rupa Goswami is discussing the qualities that are attractive in Krishna. Right? Means that if we're dealing with vibhava, the vibhava means how you are attracted to Krishna. Right? And so then what qualities, what actions, whatever it is he does that makes him attractive, that the devotee is therefore interested, you know, in Krishna. That's the called rati. Right? So you have just all the qualities, but you'll notice that when they're being described, many times they're done in groups where they kind of, one naturally follows the other, or they have that connection, or they can be applied together. And so then having described all the 64, then he goes on to further describe them, because then, like this group of eight, then they're saying, because those tend to work together. And then, but they can work all together at once, or in working together, one can be prominent, or one is just on its own prominent. That's the whole point of rasa. It can work on all these different ways. But they're bringing it out that rasa is the thing that holds them together. So why a particular attitude is there, it becomes the combination of some other things. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not just that they're just standalone qualities. They can. But at the same time as they also work in groups. You know, just like, let's say, if we take sweet, if I say sweet, we have an idea. If we say salty, we have an idea. If we say sour, we have an idea. Right? But now, if I say chutney, that's all those together. So it gives a different flavor. So each of those gives a particular flavor. When you combine them, it gives another flavor. So that's why they can work together as a group. They can work, you know, some of them. They can work in just on their own or together with one prominent. Like that. Mm-hmm. Like that. Krishna's assistance. For matters of dharma, the sages such as Garga. For war, persons like Satyaki. And for advice, persons like Uddhava are glorified as assistants to the Lord in revealing these qualities, right? So, he has the qualities, then depending upon the assistance, these qualities come out by how they engage. So therefore, in Dharma, then, persons like Garga, they'll bring out these things and establish who Krishna is, and that, when it's for fighting, the Satyaki, because he's the commander-in-chief of the Dwarka army, like that. And then advice for Uddhava. Then he'll talk and bring out all these different qualities. So you get all these tastes. So Krishna's not just himself, it's with the devotees, that interaction then gives taste. Srila Prabhupada. Although Krishna is independent of everyone, out of his causeless mercy, he is dependent upon Garga Rishi for religious instruction. For learning the military art, he is dependent upon Satyaki. And for good counsel, he's dependent upon his friend, Uddhava. Right? And so then in that, you'll see all these different qualities come up. So Krishna's interaction with the devotees, that's then when you'll see these qualities manifest. chapter 25, devotees of Krishna. 2.1.273. The devotees of Krishna, footnote 8. Here the description of the Ashraya starts, right? So before it was Vishaya, or Krishna, who has these 64 qualities. Now, about the Ashraya, the devotee. Right? Because the discussion is Vibhava. Right? And so then in Vibhava, you're going to have in Alambana, you're going to have Ashraya and Vishaya. Hmm? Yeah. Does that make sense? Like that. And then I guess after this, then they'll discuss the Udipada. Those whose hearts are full of attraction for Krishna are called the devotees of Krishna, Jiva Goswami. Those whose hearts, Svantaha, are infused with Bhavita, the most excellent Rati, Bhava, for Krishna as their object of love, are called Krishna Bhaktas. This means that they are the Alambana, Ashraya, special great devotees attracted to the form of Krishna in a particular mood, in whom Krishna is similarly attracted. This implies that the other devotees, relative to this devotee, should be classified as Udipana. Right? So these are Alambana. Right? So then Alambana is there's the one who has that mood that's being brought out. Then anybody else who's there, that simply becomes, Udipan. Means reasons for remembering this and being, you know, inspired in this. So depending on who's the main one, who's the Ashraya, who's the Alambana at the time, and who is the Udipan at the time. So
generally the assisting rasas become the Udipan.
The assisting rasas, okay.
I'm asking.
Oh, okay. I thought you said this. Generally you say, yeah, you know,
like the peacock and
then. They'd all be assisting and all that. So that's what it gives, because it's giving the environment. Like Krishna and Balaram, then they're walking, and then Krishna's glorifying Vrindavan, how it's serving Balaram. Because it's doing all whatever it means. We're seeing that because he's the elder brother, so he's glorifying him and all this. But the reason they're all assisting and worshiping Balaram is because Balaram's arranging all these things for Krishna, and they assist him in his service to Krishna. So,
when we speak about Krishna's qualities, are they Udipans or Alambans for the devotees?
Means they'll, when they're applied, they'll be Udipan. But the point is these are the 64 qualities of Krishna as the Vishaya, as the enjoyer. Mm-hmm. And then which ones you're seeing at the time, that will be the Udipan. Mm-hmm. Like that. Just like the other devotees, then they meet, like you see Uddhava, then you'll think of those particular qualities that come from Krishna when Uddhava is with him, and that will create that particular flavor. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That was a revision question, by the way.
Sorry?
It was a review question on the chapter.
It's a review question.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Just getting the answer.
Okay, yeah.
Now we're into first grade here.
Okay, clever. That's good. I knew the answer, so that's a good thing, right? Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay.
Can you also write the essays?
Yeah. This is. They will be later classified as Udipanas in verse 2.1.302. So a little bit later that will come up. 2.1.274, right? Because right now they're just showing the Ashraya aspect, but these others will come up.
What's
Alambana?
Can you
explain? Alambana is there the general term?
It includes Ashraya and Vishaya.
Yes, but does it have a name itself as the category?
Just the generic term, Vibhava includes Alambana and Udipana. Alambana includes Ashraya and Vishaya.
Yes, no, but I'm saying, is there a translation for Alambana?
No.
In English?
It's one of those words that somehow, strangely, English doesn't have a equivalent of.
Can't remember. Maybe.
Yeah, because I've never really seen it used.
Alambana actually means longing for someone.
Longing. Okay. So who's the shelter of the longing, and who is longed for? So when he always says the object and the subject, you know, like that.
What does it do? Like Udipan is something that reminds us of Krishna.
The one is the mood, because if you don't have the feeling, then why would you do the activities? It's just like, let's say, mother has affection for the child. And so that just generic mood of that affection, right, then is there. It's fixed. It may, you know, so therefore then the mother, how you say, being, let's say in this case, the ashray or the shelter of that affection for the child, and the child being the object at which is directed, right? Mm-hmm. But now, and so then the mother has qualities and the child has qualities, right? But those are just generic that they have. Now we put a situation where the mother is seeing the child and the child's doing something. Then that will bring out, means this affection for the child will come out, right? So in other words, the alambana aspect, you'll see that will be active, but is due to a specific udipan, a specific trait that's manifest in the child. Therefore, it will bring out certain experiences and qualities in the mother and the particular experience she gets. Does that make sense? So it's all about that experience. When you put that together, it's called rasa. Each one is not rasa. These are elements of rasa, or ingredients of rasa. You know, it's just like you say, I'm going to make khichdi. Okay, so that's rice, so that's dal. You know, if we're here in Bengal, they'll throw some potatoes in there. It has certain spices. It has some, you know, ghee, like this. But those sitting on the counter is not khichdi. But these are the ingredients of, and you can explain what goes with what and how it goes and what's the proportions and that. And then, does that make sense? And then you put it together, then you have the khichdi. So rasa means when these are combined, then you get the taste, the experience. So that particular attraction is there, right? Does that make sense? So that's the particular rati. So that will have the subject and object.
Right.
Then there's going to be what causes that attraction to arise. You know, the mother may be sitting there and just, you know, doing something themselves, whatever they're doing. And they're not specifically interacting with the child. Then the child does something. And so then it attracts the attention, and then it brings up that mood, that experience is gained. And then she does something, goes over and interacts, or picks the child up, or, you know, it's like that. Does that make sense?
But can we say that Udipan makes the whole thing very dynamic?
The Udipan makes it dynamic. The Udipan is the cause for it to become dynamic. Because the point is without the other things, how will the dynamism work? Not that it's all sitting there and it won't do anything. It's just that when it's there, because then what happens after that? Then you get the anubhavas. So it's just all these things go together.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Prabhupada defines alambana as the support and udipana as an awakening.
Okay, support. Support of the rasa and the awakening of the rasa. It means why you're aware of it. You know, that'll come up and that's my support. Two 1 2 74. The learned understand that all the qualities of Krishna, from telling the truth, 2 1 2 4, to bashfulness, 2 1 27, are also present in the devotees of Krishna. So those are the first 50. 2 1 2 75. The devotees are said to be of two types, practitioners, sadhakas, and perfected, siddhas. Srila Prabhupada. A person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is called a devotee of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami says that all the transcendental qualities discussed previously are also found in the devotees of Krishna. The devotees can be classified into two groups: those who are cultivating devotional service in order to enter into the transcendental kingdom, and those who are already in the perfectional stage of devotional service. Jiva Goswami. The difference is pointed out in order to discuss their particular natures, right? Because if there's no need to discuss the natures, why make the difference? Right? In some sense. Right. So it's not a matter of pride or something like that. It's just a matter of they're going to discuss there'll be some difference between those who are practicing and those who are perfecting. 21276. Practitioners, sadhaka, are those who have developed rati for Krishna but have not completely extinguished the anartas and who are qualified to see Krishna directly. Footnote 9. This term sadhaka should not be confused with sadhana bhakta. Bhakti, which ends with the appearance of rati. According to the definitions given in the eastern section, this is the description of the bhava bhakta, who may be considered a sadhaka because he is not completely pure. Why the bhava bhakta is a sadhaka is discussed by Vishwanath in his commentary 1.2.1. Right? It's not generally talked about, but you have to see the context. Like bhava, you generally don't hear about bhav sadhana. Like that, because it's above sadhana, means you have sadhana bhakti, and then you have bhava. So it's above that, because it's spontaneous, it's not according to the rules, it's according to following the path that the rules are talking about. Right? Without the rules, we wouldn't be on the path. Right? We can't tell the difference. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're untrained in tastes and food, then basically you just kind of eat anything. Then when you train, you start to see what's to eat and what's not to eat. You know, it's just like that, you know, isn't it? Like babies. Anything goes in their mouth. They'll pick up a shoe and stick it in their mouth. Right? They don't care. But then with time, you get trained. Right? And then you just naturally don't chew on shoes. Right? Unless you're a goat, then yes, of course. Okay. And especially dogs, right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So you're distinguishing there, but it's still a practice because you're not on the platform of perfection. So then when it's talking about, you have to know who they're talking about. Because otherwise you see, this is all the rules. No, this is not. This is bhava. But you have, because they see, they're seeing Krishna. Qualified to see Krishna directly. But they haven't completely extinguished all the anartas, right? Because at this point you still have that aspect of anything left over from aparats. That will still be there. That won't go away until you get to prema. Right? And then other aspects might be there in a slight little degree. Some pride or like that kind of thing. So those all have to go. Like the ten, when Krishna kills the 10 demons in Vrindavan, it removes all those particular anartas. So that's why hearing the pastimes of Krishna and killing the demons then gets rid of these anartas. Like that. Like previously, you know, everywhere, everyone would, you know, either formally or individually read Krishna book and then go to bed. You know, so I mean, you keep going through and all that. And not sure if that's still a practice, because otherwise then these 10 anartas then. Yeah. 21277. An example from the, we're still down here. Let there be only two types of bhakti, sadhana and sadhya. Bhava should be included in sadhya bhakti. Why is it necessary to have three types? The answer is as follows. Right? So he's saying is that somebody may say this, right? Later it will be said, those who are practitioners, sadhaka, who have developed rati for Krishna and are qualified to see Krishna directly, but who have not completely extinguished the anartas. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.276. In spite of the fact that bhava or rati has appeared, utpanna ratayaha, the obstacles have not completely dissipated. Such persons are therefore classified as sadhakas. Then, okay, so in the quotes it means that these are the objections. Because before that was an objection. Not having extinguished all obstacles. Samyan. It's just an existence. Narvigyam. Anupagata. means that there still remains a trace of some serious aparad, because the effects of aparad are very strong and long-lasting. These the other three types, they all disappear, you know, when you get to ruchi, like that. And then by the time you get to bhava, basically they're not present. But there'll be some fragrance left, right? And so then this is the aparads. They're the one that's why it's said you have to be so careful of that. Because, as we said, the other ones will go away very easily. But aparad doesn't go away until advanced stages of bhava. That's why we have to be careful.
I heard an explanation of Bharata. That was the reason, because of some aparad that he committed. That's why he fell down from his level. He became attracted to a deer.
Okay, could be. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. But even just in that, you go through and don't fall down, still until you get up to basically it's at the Vastu city is where it goes away. So when you establish yourself simply only within the Lord's pastimes at that point. Yes.
It says here that you qualify to see Krishna directly.
Yes.
I thought that's the Vastu city.
No, you can see Krishna. No, because Vastu, because even Apandas, you're involved in the pastimes. You're directly in the pastimes and interacting. You know, as you hear about the gopis are going out and like that, you're at that. That's Apandas. So Vastu will be Sampatidas, the next one, the fifth level. Because that's when it's just, that's all you do. Because before that, you're still learning and all that. Just like, let's say, those gopis, they went out for the rasa dance, right? And so then Krishna started the rasa dance, but then they became proud. And so he left the rasa dance. So that's why they're still considered sadhakas, because they haven't gone. But he went off with Radharani, like that. Because, you know, Radharani and her group, they're not. So that aspect is that they're seeing Krishna, they're interacting with Krishna and everything, but they still haven't like that. Well, before that, you may see, but you may not be involved. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. In this condition, with even a trace of aparad that generates suffering, Sadhya Bhakti cannot appear, because Sadhya will mean prema. The qualities of the Siddha Bhakti, who has Sadhya Bhakti, are described as follows in the same section. Those who experience no suffering at all, who perform all actions while taking shelter of Krishna, and who always taste the happiness of continuous prema, are known as the perfected devotees. Bhakti Rasamrita Sinha 2.1.2.80. So that means on this platform they're interacting, but it's not continuous, the aspect of prema. Maybe getting touches, but you only call it when it's steady, that's when you call it by that name. Right? So that taste, that's there. But unless it's steady. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the gopis, they're dancing with Krishna for one night in Brahma. And for them it was just like a moment went by. So they're just so absorbed, because otherwise if prema was going and then it stopped and then it started again, it would seem much longer. But it's just like it's one continuous entity that just went by in a moment. You know, and then that all that time of pastimes, all those years of pastimes of Krishna, you know, that has so many nights, that just seemed like a moment. Like that. So, yeah. Therefore, Bhava Bhakti cannot be included in Sadhya Bhakti. Right? However, by no means can it be included in sadhana bhakti, because in this section, which defines sadhana bhakti, the goal of sadhana bhakti is described as bhava bhakti. Therefore, it cannot be included in sadhana bhakti, since the goal of bhava bhakti is not to produce bhava. Thus, it should be considered proper to classify bhakti into three types, not two. In verse 277, Rupa Goswami is quoted the definition of the Madhyama Adhikara in relation to this sadhaka of rati. It would seem that the term covers a wide range of devotees, with a person who has attained rati at the top. Right? So you do have the aspect of sadhaka is there, and so these will be a touch there, but it's still not but at the same time is then the one who has come to Rati is the top of this group. So it seems that you start with the Madhyama and up to Rati. Then that's, in one sense, that's one group, but it also, one's a sadhaka and one's in bhava. Mm-hmm. But there's still, the common point is that absorption in Krishna, that attraction to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, does that make sense? So mm-hmm. it can happen down there when steady and all those things like that. But at the same time, is then you have that deepening that is there in Rati. So it's in its own category, but there's still an overlap. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. No, it was 277. Oh, that's here.
Yeah.
Okay, an example from the 11th canto. An intermediate or second class devotee, called Madhyama Adhikari, offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 11.2.46. From Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada. A person who has attained the stage of attraction for Krishna and who is not freed from the material impasse, but who has qualified himself to enter into the kingdom of God, is called sadhaka. Sadhaka means one who is cultivating devotion in Krishna consciousness. The description of such a devotee is found in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 46 of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said there that a person who has unflinching faith in and love for the Personality of Godhead, who is in friendship with devotees of Krishna, and who is very merciful to the ignorant, raising them to the standard of devotional service, and who is uninterested in non-devotees, is considered to be situated in the position of cultivating devotional service. Right? So that's the definition of the Madhyama. Okay? So we may need to revise our view.
Maharaj, it says here, raising them to the standard of devotional service. It doesn't say to the standard of sattva guna or pious life.
Oh, no, it doesn't. Doesn't. Strange, isn't it?
And uninterested to non-devotees also.
Yeah, uninterested, yeah. So there's no interest in that. So they're going to base everything on how it's pleasing to Krishna. You won't have the aspect that the karmas are doing it, so therefore it's important. It won't be, that won't come up in their consideration. Because it's about pleasing Krishna, not about what the karmas are doing. Like that. So this position, so you see, is that the top of this is going to be someone in Rati, like that. But that still, you know, is not prema. So when it crosses that point, then you would give it that higher. So depending on the mood and how fixed they are, so you would say, is this would more you'd be see it in Ruchi and Asakti, because at that point, then all the so many anartas just go away. And they become more and more absorbed in Krishna. It's more dynamic. It's more about him as a person, mm-hmm. rather than just you're performing your duties. You're doing that, so spiritual life and all these kind of things. It's actually about the taste of the transcendental reality, the relation with Krishna. Right. So there'll be more of an overlap. Does that make sense? But you do still have the categories because you can say, but at the same time as there is these overlaps. Does that make sense? You know, just like the activities of someone in Apandas is the same as in Prema, the difference is one's in Prema and one's not. So it's not that changes. Does that make sense? So in the same way, you'll see the interest, the absorption of the Madhyamas are going to be similar, but it just doesn't have that intensity. It hasn't come to that position. Two seventy-eight. Another example. Do not worry that after you have been drenched in tears arising from the river of the pastimes of the Lord, you will remain in the flame of suffering in the material world. When all the hairs on your limbs dances, when all the hairs on your limbs dance. Then you will see very near, rising in the sky of your heart, the cloud of Krishna's form, full of the shower of mercy which destroys the desire for liberation. Jiva Goswami, in expectation of the removal of causes of obstacles mentioned previously, the author cites this verse. Heti means flame. Pritu Roma means hares and also fish. Thus, there is another meaning to the last part of the verse. When the fish begin to dance excessively, one can understand that soon a black cloud will appear in the sky with a shower of mercy, which will extinguish the desire for water. Two on 279. Yeah, so that means maybe we haven't seen it, but so if they're in the smaller things, it's just still water. I mean, rivers you won't get that, but if they're in the, you know, if the water's, you know, the pond or a pool or a puddle or whatever it is, then it gets hot. It's not so nice. So when it rains, you get the fresh water, you get the air, it gets cools, it's nice, and so when that's coming up, then they get, you know, enthusiastic. 21279. Those who are similar to Bilva Mangal are known as sadhakas. Srila Prabhupada. When one is found shedding tears by hearing of the pastimes of the Lord, it is to be understood that the blazing fire of material existence will be extinguished by such watering. When there is shivering of the body and the hairs of the body stand up, it is to be understood that the devotee is nearing perfection. An example of a sadhaka cultivating devotional service is Bilva Mangal Thakur. So, you know, that's the 21280. Those who experience no suffering at all, who perform all actions while taking shelter of Krishna, and who always taste the happiness of continuous prema are known as the perfected devotees. 21281. There are two types of perfected devotees, those who have attained perfection and those who are eternally perfect. 21282. Those who have attained perfection are of two types, those who have attained perfection by sadhana and those who have attained perfection by mercy. Right? So you have those who are nitya siddhis, who are always perfect, then those who have become perfect. Of those, there are those who have attained perfection by their sadhana, others by mercy. It means, of course, the sadhaka is getting mercy, that's why he's coming to that perfectional platform. But the other one is simply the attitude is so as such that Krishna just gives his mercy, even though they're not very great at sadhana.
Yeah. Also, this is interesting. The Mayavadis, they cannot get any mercy because there is no one to give them mercy.
So no, because because Brahman doesn't have any personality, so they can't get the mercy. Yes.
In this term, sadhana siddha, kripa siddha, they're applicable on a level of like gratitude or bhava to prema, or even before they were host.
Means how you came to that position.
Which one?
It means how you come to rati.
Oh, to rati.
Like that. Generally, it means that. But I guess it could also mean how you come to prema. You know, because it's going to be the mercy of the Lord, or you know how nicely you're performing your activities. But basically, it's because you're counting. If you're counting it in these two, in this way, it's going to be how you're going to go up through it. So by the Lord's mercy, that's how it's going forward. Because we generally see that those who come to that, they come to either the platform of bhava or to the platform of prema by that mercy. Right? Does that make sense? You know, in the examples that you see. So and sadhana means is they nicely perform their sadhana, they're very exemplary. Like Sanatana Goswami is given as the example of sadhana siddha. Sanatana Goswami. You know, just how perfectly he does the sadhana, how sober he is, how well he knows it, how he does everything. So, yes?
It's interesting. Usually in Bhagavatam, we see examples, Kripa Siddha, bringing, you know, people up to bhav. Mm. Not to prema, rarely mm-hmm. to prema. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't remember, not even one. But in CC, it's like prema for everybody.
Well, that's why I said Lord Chaitanya, if you analyze, no one's more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Because Krishna is going to be, okay, how you... So you have that surrender up to that point, so that's how much is given. But with Lord Chaitanya, it's that you're doing that in the pursuance of, so therefore it just goes through the prema. So there's hope. Right there. Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee is never tired of executing devotional service and is always engaged in Krishna conscious activities, constantly relishing the transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna, he is called perfect. This perfectional stage can be achieved in two ways. One may achieve the stage of perfection by gradually processing devotional service, or one may become perfect by the causeless mercy of Krishna, even though he has not executed all the details of devotional service. Because also the thing is, generally, it also can be used in multiple ways. Here, siddha or perfect is prema. But in general, when it's talking about prema and perfection, perfection means rati or bhava, liberation. Because sometimes you see he's talking about the perfect. And you see the context, whether they're talking about the prema bhakta or someone who's liberated. Okay. Okay. One may achieve this stage of perfection by gradual progress in devotional service, or one may become perfect by the causeless mercy of Krishna, even though he has not executed all the details of devotional service. Right, so the attitude is very nice, but one may not have done all the different aspects. Or you see someone who very carefully and nicely does everything and does like that. 2.1.283. An example of a sadhana siddha from the third canto. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes and is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.25. So they're fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And they don't care for other methods, like here, meditation, austerities. It's just what is favorable in devotional service, what's recommended, that's what they do. Other things are not important. 2.1.284, translation. Another example. I offer respects to the great devotees who have destroyed all suffering by the power of bhakti, who usually hate to glance upon the four objects, including liberation, even though they offer respects to the devotees, whose hearts are full of the bliss of strong prema, whose faces are washed in tears of bliss, and whose limbs are covered in goosebumps. Srila Prabhupada. There's the following nice statement in the third canto, 15th chapter, verse 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing a devotee who achieves perfection by regularly executing devotional service. A person who is freed from the false egotism of material existence, or an advanced mystic, is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God, known as Vaikuntha. Such a mystic becomes so joyful by constant execution of the regulated principles of devotional service that he thereby achieves the special favor of the Supreme Lord. Yamaraj, the mighty superintendent of death, is afraid to go near such a devotee, so he can imagine the potency of advanced devotional service, especially when devotees sit together and engage in talking of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those devotees express their feelings in such a way that they automatically melt with ecstasy, and many transcendental symptoms become manifested in their bodies. Anyone desiring advancement in devotional service must follow in the footsteps of such devotees. So he said here, advanced devotional service. So that's another term that Prabhupada uses for madhyama, right? Because you have the neophyte, and then you have the advanced devotee. So advanced devotional service starts at madhyama. That's why you see, in one definition, they'll put that aspect of the madhyama with the person in the lower in this stages of rati. You know, the lower stages, those would be quite common. When you get up to the higher ones, then it's harder. But it's still, they're not perfect, but still. Does that make sense? Then you're going to take it as just rati, and then the two parts. Right? And then when you're taking below that, you're taking advanced devotional service, then you can take the madhyama and up into the lower part. So generally it'll be ruchi, asakti, and the beginning stages of rati. Does that make sense? Like that. So, yeah. So, they're express their feelings in such a way they automatically melt with ecstasy. So it's talking about Krishna in a favorable way, a nice way. They're not talking about Krishna, but in the context of their own personal needs and desires. It's in context Krishna himself, the person, and his niceness, or how things and how it's relating, or the devotees and their relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? And so it naturally just becomes very, very nice. Jiva Goswami. You know, anyone desiring advancement in devotional service must follow in the footsteps of such devotees. Jiva Goswami. Using the word prayena usually indicates that sometimes those devotees may have desires for the four goals as follows. If some or another my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-33. Right? So that means, because the sadhana, they may have these aspects, but generally it's not. But even if they're there, that they can get easily. That's not a problem.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.